The development team also has an engineering team in place working with them to address site challenges, working to refine their plans accordingly. And that also includes engineers with specific expertise to help them address the landfill conditions of the property. We've had preliminary conversations from the staff with county and state. No submittals have been submitted to either of those agencies, so there's not full and complete information yet for full review. But as the development team moves closer to the submittals, we as staff will be engaged in those conversations, and we'll maintain that communication with state agencies and the county as necessary. I can provide an update regarding conversations with Department of Transportation. Separate from this project, you know that we had been looking at major infrastructure changes to Highway 36, thinking about activating development on the east and west side. Through extensive conversations with DOT, the development team, and our consultants on that project, we've been able to position the Ballpark Commons project can move forward without major infrastructure changes to Highway 36. And, you know, as we work through that process, we realized the focus of enhanced development potential along Highway 36 was to the east. And so Ballpark Commons development team has been working to on their site plan to accommodate either scenario so that in the short term it will match up with existing infrastructure, but they're prepared to dedicate the appropriate right-of-way to accommodate larger infrastructure changes if we as a city decide to move forward with that and the DOT and county sign off on changes to Highway 36 infrastructure over there. So we've been in a lot of communication regarding that. As far as next steps, the development team is actively refining their site plans and working towards completing the conditions outlined in their April 4th approval. When we receive those submittals, they'll work through the standard processes, review processes laid out in the plan development district. In some cases, that will require plan commission and common council review, including for any special uses. It's also possible that they may need amendments to the plan development districts as it was previously passed. But I just want to clarify that that's something staff regularly expects for a project of this scale, that there could be little aspects of the project that don't exactly align with what was planned or what was approved in a preliminary approval like we saw with this project. There's also been questions to staff about a development agreement. City staff has requested the development team provide more clarity about their relationship with the county parkland and also provide more concrete project details before we get deep into negotiations about a development agreement. And certainly before we reach any sort of agreement with the development team, we'll need those details. And so we've asked them to fill us in with more information, take the ball down the field a little bit further with county, and then we can re-engage those types of conversations. I am aware that they're making progress on both of those fronts. I just received word today. We've been working with the development team and have asked them to come forward with a more comprehensive update, hopefully some more details to share with the Common Council and the public at large. I got word today that they will be prepared to present at a committee of the whole meeting on March 6th. With the intent of showing some revised site plans and some more details about the progress they've made towards their project. We still understand from the development team they intend to start construction within 2017, and we staff will continue to support those efforts to the best of our ability and ensure the city's responsibilities related to the project are addressed in a timely fashion. Beyond that, I don't have much more, but happy to take questions.
Questions from the County Council. Alderman Long, and then Alderman Mayor.
You mentioned that there was no application so far, so no full review by the DNR. Will you be getting copies of those applications?
Yeah, actually, as part of the plan development district, it's explicitly stated, and we've reminded the development team of this and the DNR, that there's a requirement we stay informed and are invited to meetings and discussions that occur with either DNR. I believe MSD is listed as well as the county.
Okay, so do you think that the exact application they give to them, they're just going to give you a copy, or you're going to get it from the DNR? What would be the process on that?
Sure. So I would assume that we would receive a copy of it, right? You know, it's got each submittal to each agency will work through their own review process, right? And as it works through that review process, we're getting those applications. We'd have the ability to review them.
I'm going to tell you why I'm asking that question. I've been involved in the city and looking at development plans for quite some time. And over the years, I have done records requests for DNR applications and found differing stormwater plans than what was given to the city, different in documents. No way am I saying that this developer would be doing anything like that. But it is important to me that we review, we're all reviewing the same documents. And that's why I'm bringing that to your attention. Thank you.
Thanks.
Alderman Mayer.
Aaron, you mentioned...
Is that just me?
Yeah, it's just you.
Actually, I think it's...
Aaron, you mentioned that there was no sign.
Do you want to try mine?
It is mine. Thank you. Pardon my reach. Aaron, you mentioned that there was no submittal to the county and to the state yet. What exactly, what specifically has been going on with the developer and county and state that you can share with us?
Sure. So there's been extensive conversations about how best to move forward with the project. You know, and at this stage, my understanding of those conversations and my follow-up with those agencies has been all preliminary, right? So there's questions from the development team to DNR regarding the issues of waste, trying to figure out how they'll be looking, going through their review so that they can appropriately analyze and prepare for a submittal, right? So there'll be a submittal looking for approval for the activities on the site for the construction, right, because of the historic fill aspect of the project. Dealing with the issues related to the waste, and as was mentioned earlier, there were some hazardous materials found, figuring out what regulations would be in place for dealing with those and how they can appropriately address those to the satisfaction of DNR. From the county side of it, county owns a significant piece of the land out there, and so there are conversations going on about how best, what that relationship looks like going forward. I know a number of ideas have been discussed. My understanding, no resolution has been reached.
So it's just preliminary discussions at this point. So all this time since whenever, I mean, I thought they were nailing things down here and moving forward, but it's just preliminary discussions?
Yeah, and I want to clarify that. You know, when I say preliminary discussions, it starts off with a phone call, hey, we're interested in this, what do you think? And the extent of it now is deep into details, right? They've got engineers on staff with expertise around the landfill, having that communication with DNR and preparing, informing the site plan and preparing a process for the development team of how they'll work through that. And that's a complex process. It takes time to gather that information. It takes time to figure out what's on site and how best to address it. So, you know, that's all preliminary conversations, and I call it preliminary because no formal application has been submitted yet. But there's a lot of work that goes into that process.
And I realize it's a complex process and a lot of work, and that's what we've been telling folks for 3 years now, that it's a complex process. But I was hoping that with the county and the DNR at the table, that we'd start to hear some more concrete things going on. Now, they're meeting weekly, correct?
Our communication with the development team has probably averaged weekly. We've got meetings scheduled with them every other week. Many of those dates have been shifted around to accommodate schedules or, you know, availability of information or changes in the project. But we are in regular communication with the development team.
And is there any major developmental changes with the physical structures on the site that you can share with us?
Sure. So we understand that they are moving pieces around. You know, there were some earlier conversations about this. South of Rawson, there were some meetings that occurred with neighbors to the west, trying to accommodate some of their interests. So some of the buildings were moved around. There was a change from townhouses to solely apartment-style development to accommodate some of those interests in increasing the setback from the property line. To accommodate some of those interests. Some shifting of other pieces there to accommodate some of the road infrastructure, things that we were looking for to ensure that we did not prevent ourselves from potential future changes at Highway 36 intersection that we've previously discussed. North of Rawson, there are changes that are going on to accommodate the to avoid as much as possible building on the historic landfill portions of the site, right, trying to move elements off of that area, and also to meet up with interests. We have a sense, although we don't have details yet, a sense that they're talking to potential users of the site, potential businesses that would function within the retail settings, operators of various facilities. So they've are sizing buildings accordingly to accommodate those interests. We've seen some preliminary plans from them, but we've asked them to come forward for March 6th because I think it's important that they come forward with the plans. It's their project. Provide the context for the changes that they're making and help us understanding both from an engineering side and from a development side why they're approaching the project the way they are.
So on March 6th, are they going to have any approvals by the DNR or Milwaukee County, or are we going to be in the same place we were with every other diagram that we've seen? I mean, it's all going to come down to the DNR and the county approving what they want to put in. So is this just another picture that we look at and like, or is there going to be DNR or county approval on this?
Sure. So the sense I have from the communication I've had with DNR and the county is that they're working towards, they start off with a broad concept plan, and they're working towards a detailed site plan that accommodates the interests from city that we've asked them to look at from the PDD, what's going to be required from DNR, and what's necessary from county, DOT, everybody else. And so the site plan that I believe we'll see on March 6th will be much closer to what we will expect to see come out of the ground than what we've previously seen. So, it is another picture, but it's a picture that's probably much more in line with what we'll see and has the engineering analysis provided to accommodate the site conditions.
Okay, thank you. I have one follow-up question, but I'll let others speak first.
Alderman Taylor, and then we'll go back to you.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. I'm glad this is on the agenda because...
It's not me.
Yes. If I turn it right down...
All right. That better? Better?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So I'm glad this is on the agenda because it's difficult, and I think the mayor's done a pretty good job of during citizen comment period of trying to answer questions, but citizen comment period where we're basically just sit here and listen and not get in debates with the audience. That there's a time and a place for it. It's not at a common council meeting. And I think there's been this talk about how long it's been, or the MOU, or it's February, we passed, I think there was MOU was in February,
right.
And then we did the TIF district. The developer, any developer, needs to have some insurance before they spend tons and tons of money that this body is on board with the concept, with the idea, and that's what we've been doing this entire time. Now, I've been up here 7.5 years, a little gap in between. Some of you have been up here longer than me, a little bit less. But we've done developments for years, and they don't always go off super smooth. But I can't recall one really this complex because of the landfill. And so we had to take the proper steps so the developer had the assurance that we were on board financially, and that's what was the TIF. And for the MOU, that protects the residents. That protects the city. There's, 40 items that have to be addressed.
Plan approvals, yeah.
Yeah, plan approvals. So that's things that we're asking for. And to get some of those approvals costs money, lots of money. So let's talk about the project itself. South of Rawson, there has been changes on the layout of the apartments. Why? Because the developer worked with the residents. They had neighborhood meetings. They hired a consultant to go door to door and talk to people. And so there was changes that were made and now that's pretty much done. That's kind of set in stone as much as stone can be set, but that one is, there's not a lot of angst over there. I mean, there's, I'm sure, a few unhappy homeowners still, but the developer worked extremely hard. Nobody gets up here and talks about that portion of the project. They want to talk about the landfill and what's happening there. That at one point there was a proposal for a giant indoor facility. Well, maybe when money started getting spent and they start digging in, they start talking to the DNR and the county, maybe, just maybe, they said that's not going to work. And what was proposed was, instead of one gigantic building, there was maybe four smaller buildings, I think, or something like that. Dollar amount was still the same in terms of tax revenue, which is what we care about, to make sure that the TIF works and the numbers work, and so that was done. So this is extremely complex, and that's why it's taking long. Now, the mayor said on the record that, you know, in here I'm an alderman. That is correct, but I do wear a different hat, so I am in different meetings, and so I'm going to put on that hat for a moment to explain what is going on the county side. A question was asked, will there be an approval for March 6th? No, there will be no approval for March 6th. Will what this council sees in March go to the county board, or at least Parks Committee, shortly thereafter? The answer to that would be yes, that's what will happen. I've had, I think, two or three meetings at the courthouse with the county executive, with director of administration, with parks director, you know, 20 people in a room discussing this topic. You know, obviously I live here and I serve on this body, and I obviously serve on the county board, and I'm on the parks committee. So obviously I'm concerned about what's going on and everything. And we are having those conversations. The county is having those conversations to make sure that this project is done correctly, that liability questions are addressed. You know, the DNR is very, you know, the conversations have all been great. It's, if we've come across something, there's been adjustments made. All that costs money, and all that takes time. And so it's a project that, I mean, I would have loved to have the shovel in the ground 6 months ago, you know, and then working, but we're just not there. The developer's not there yet, and the county's not there yet. I was supposed to have a meeting today with T. Whaley Smith, who's our director of administration, when he came down with the flu, and so that got postponed. So all I can tell you is, you know, it's been, and I understand some of the residents' concerns that get up here, and maybe some of it's sarcasm, I don't know, but and maybe not always pleasant in the delivery. And like I said, the mayor's done a fine job in having to kind of balance that fine line. But there is the project is moving along, and I think you'll see where the development team is at, you know, sometime in March. But like I said, I've been doing this, you know, for 20 years, basically, going back to my time on the other side of the state, and this is by far the most complex one I've been involved in. So I can see why it's taken a little bit longer. And, you know, the developer obviously has, you know, UWM wanting to play their games there. So, I mean, they have people that want to see this happen sooner than later, just like we would too. And then, obviously, as it takes time, you know, there's competition out there. Maybe we're losing a tenant. The city's losing a potential tenant to Oak Creek because things going on there. So there's no one sitting back, rest on their laurels. It's just, like I said, it's extremely complex. So I don't know if that's what I can add, I guess.
Thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
You actually answered kind of a lot of questions, Steve. Thank you. Do want to confirm just one thing that he said. Before we approved the TIF district, there was a document that the Common Council did not see that was something from the DNR, the engineers that were doing work up there. Basically, it stated that that beautiful large building that everybody is seeing in the newspaper probably wasn't going to happen. Can we at least get a confirmation that that...
The large indoor complex?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. One thing I want to clarify about that... The large indoor complex was presented at the January concept review meeting, right, which is preliminary. The April 4th submittal had pictures of it. It mentioned it in the plan submittal, but it also suggested it's likely that, and I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but something to the effect of it's likely that this will change from one large indoor complex to a indoor-outdoor complex made up of multiple structures. And so, yes, the latest communication we've had from the development team suggests that they're not looking at a single large indoor complex, but a couple of smaller elements that meet that sports theme to it.
And I understand.
And so there will be at least one building that has indoor sports activities in it, in the latest communication I've seen regarding this. But it will not be the size that was previously suggested, but there will be other elements on site that match up with, similar types of activities on site.
Okay. Well, I definitely look forward to seeing it. I can understand the frustration of the public because they have been 1,000 words when they open the newspaper and that's the picture that they see. So the sooner that can get out, the better, I would think. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
You good?
Yeah.
I'm confirming from now on.
Sorry.
Alderman Mayor.
Did you have something for us?
No.
Thank you, guys, because March 6th is our next meeting, and if we would have seen this, it would be a little shocking to say that we went from whatever we had to what we're going to see on March 6th. So thanks to both of you guys for updating us on that. Just a follow-up question. Part of this whole discussion over there has been Ballpark Commons. Part of it was Loomis Road, like you mentioned before, 76 and Rawson. What other types of things can you share with us that are going on in that general area? Because that's always been a topic of concern for us, the general area, not just the Ballpark Commons. And particularly now with us all finding out that one of the tenants there is sadly leaving to go to Oak Creek, which is, I think, what Alderman Taylor was alluding to a minute ago.
Sure.
What else do we do there? What kind of strategies are you using to fill those places up again?
Sure. So I've had communication with several of the major property owners in that area. To get a sense of where they're at and where their heads are at with development. And more often than not, what I'm hearing is we've got our eyes on Ballpark Commons. We want to – generally, they've spoken supportive of the project. They want to get a sense of what's going in there, how that adds value to the neighborhood, and how they can then strategize and build off of that. I believe it came to the Common Council, or was it just the Plan Commission, the Anderson Dental Building on Rawson, just east of Orchard View. It might have been just Plan Commission, but there was approvals for a dental facility on some of the vacant land across from the bowling alley. So there's a little bit of activity over there. Certainly it was unfortunate to see the announcement about the business leaving Franklin. From that area. It's an individual business owner who I met with on several occasions, I knew he was looking at sites, encouraged him to look at several sites in Franklin, helped him through that process. I did not get communication until I saw the newspaper article that he was looking elsewhere, but looked at several options, thought he had good opportunities in front of him, but unfortunately he found another option more suitable for him.
And that's going to happen. We can't keep everybody, but we need to be five steps ahead then to try to get somebody else in there.
No doubt. And with individuals like that, we do as much as possible try to do early outreach, trying to get a sense of these business owners, meet them, introduce ourselves, make sure the first phone call comes to us. And in this case, it did. The first phone call came to us to look at opportunities. It was unfortunate that the communication wasn't maintained, that they decided to go elsewhere. But such is the case.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Just on that topic, was there any discussion on if the possibility was that they'd have a space at Ballpark Park Commons?
It was suggested, but the owner didn't think it was a solution for them.
Okay. Alderman Mayor.
Aaron, I'm sorry, did you say that you are meeting with groups of business owners in that area, or is it just kind of a sporadic one-on-one?
As best I can, I try to do both. There were some business meetings that were actually put together related to the Ballpark Commons project as part of their public outreach effort, where there was a meeting of many of the business owners in that area. Their public relations consultant went out, did door-to-doors, invited folks back to some meetings. I know you attended at least one of the neighborhood meetings. There was also one specially designed for business owners in that area, and I participated in that meeting as well.
What was that?
Oh, boy, I'd have to check my notes on it. It goes back some time.
Last year?
Yeah, yep. Okay. And so there hasn't been groups of meetings of folks in that area that I'm aware of since that time. Okay. But, you know, through chamber events and other things, I try to get out and meet folks as much as possible.
Yeah, and obviously since that meeting, things have changed. We lost a business during that. If you could reach out to me, I have somebody else that I need you to talk to over.
Always happy to have that conversation.
No. Just on one other item, the Pick and Save Shopping Center is got new owners now, so that's changed hands as of last month. Is there a motion to place on file?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G4, report from Franklin Senior Citizens, Inc. Mr. Knippel.
The spelling was different, Fred. It's different spelling. You're missing the U.
Yeah.
Us Germans, we can spell a lot of things different.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It's all yours, Fred.
Common Council members, thank you. I assume Lisa gave you this spreadsheet that told you what we do. We're a little down from last year. We've only served 665 meals last year from 1702, and I think that's through attrition. We've lost a few members. Some have passed. Some have just not chosen to continue, but we'll keep on doing what we do. One thing I want to do is introduce Casper. Casper is the past president of the seniors.
Who?
Casper Green. Have you heard of him?
Can you spell his name for the record?
3519 West Forest Hill Avenue.
He's a past president, but he's also a new board member. He agreed to serve along with Tom Taylor to move our organization forward. We've been struggling, and we've decided to do things differently. And what has come about is that through the efforts of Tom Taylor, we now have an attorney that is very well versed in nonprofit organizations, and she's agreed to pro bono advise us as to what we do and how we go about arranging our corporate bylaws to have a better structure for the future. Other than that, I just want to thank a whole bunch of volunteers publicly for what they do, and they make that meal program run. And a lot of them, I try and thank them as much as I can, but I just felt that this is a proper venue to do it. And there's ladies Marge Giebert and her husband Don. They work at the meal site. Lynn Borkenhagen, Beverly Key, Genevieve Fuss, Glenn Statler. You may know Glenn and Jan Wiekenut. That's a Godsell family member. They're always willing volunteers. Jay Carroll, Janet Janish, Janet Grace, Ingrid Lackich, Rob Sievers, you know, you've heard his name from the technology room, Tom Taylor, Casper Green, Russ Sapansky and his wife Pat, Conrad Linsky, Leona Keene and Tom, Jim Wright, Richard Miller, Dick Miller, I think you've heard a few of his jokes.
That's what those were?
Yeah. Well, he tells them to the seniors because we forget them.
They're all true stories, too.
And new members of our board, Jim Lucky and Doug Schmidt. These are all people that have helped our organization in the past or going forward. Other than that, we're doing what we've always done. We're providing meals and education and trying to educate our seniors that not everybody is their friend out there, be there either on the telephone or on the internet, or to be safe. That's what we try and do with our seniors. Other than that, any questions from anybody?
Questions from the council? Commissioner.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Hold on 1 second. Alderman Mayor.
Thank you, Fred. Fred, you charge dues?
Yeah, $15 a year.
And then you also charge $2 for the meals?
Well, that's a copay because the city gives us a set amount, and that's the way it just happens to work out. that's for the social. That's a cold lunch. We basically just provide sandwiches and cold. The hot meal that they get at the Root River Center is $5 copay. Okay. That's a $9 cost.
Okay.
The one at the cold lunch is just a $2 copay. We'll probably have to raise that a little bit, but we did end up with a $1,000 difference, and that's good because the more members we get, then the more we have to take from that little surplus that we've had the last couple of years. So, the more members we get, the more successful we are, the more we use up the $10,000, and we're not planning to ask for any more. We have lived within our budget for a lot of years, and we intend to do that going forward. Our members, they bring desserts. We don't pay for desserts at the meal. That would be an extra cost to the city. It would come out of what we could afford. So we ask our members to bake desserts or bring desserts. Always tell the guys to go buy donuts or whatever, as long as they don't know how to bake. So,
okay, thank you. And you have an average of 108 participants for each meal.
Yeah, it fluctuates. People go south.
Sure.
People get sick.
Sure. What's your paid membership, your dues? How many people pay dues?
There were 148 the last time we had a report. And that includes some members that are in nursing homes. We don't collect dues from them. We just call them honorary members because they're no longer able to get to the meetings.
Okay. And these are all Franklin residents?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Liberta, there's $1,121.44 balance on the account from 2016, if I'm correct. Is that correct?
Well, that could be if the bills for the last month, were in there, but I assume that's what it was.
We're moving cash and hold it for another senior activity. It's only fair to do it for these folks. I'll just leave it at that. Alderman Mayer.
Didn't we do that anyway?
Not for this group.
Really?
Nope.
How is everybody liking the Root River?
Wonderful. We have white linen tablecloths, china versus paper plates and plastic.
Wow, that's awesome.
Stuff. So it much better. And David Church and John Lazar, the chef, they're doing their best to do a great job. And we've had nothing but positive comments about the food. Yeah, we have a few glitches. There have been times where we didn't have enough food. John has a very small kitchen, and he didn't plan real well. But I'm always the last person to eat, so I know what's left over. Instead of getting a chicken breast, I got two wings. Big deal. But there were a few complaints from the seniors about that. But they're working to do it. But it was a good move. We were glad to be back.
How long have you been there now?
We were there in July, but we left in 2000 to go to Hales Corners because that's when their Root River closed. And basically we didn't have a venue big enough to hold our group at that time because our membership at the time we left was 300 and some members, and there was no place to do it. We had tried doing it at Brentwood Senior Apartment. We actually had tables out in the hallway for the caterer to put stuff on. So it was just too unwieldy. And at that time, Kurt Bielo was our administrator, and he worked with Clifford's to get us at that location. And we were there for 16 years.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are back in Franklin.
Oh, we wanted to be back in Franklin. We were Franklin seniors, and we were in Hales Corners.
I made a motion to receive and place on file, but I would say I had 29 meal sites, in the county, and there's always complaints. So that's nothing. You should see I get the reports, and it's like, are you kidding me?
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ryan's out in the hall. Item G5, senior travel program update.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Questions. I have questions for Mr. Ryan.
Actually, I'm presenting the report. He did provide a letter in his packet and we prepared the council action sheet. If there's any questions,
Alderman Mayor,
I can address
them. What is the membership?
I believe his memo talks about the participation levels. No, he just included the 119 participants. So they don't deal with, they don't have, for example, membership fees. Each trip has a separate cost.
Where was that number?
360 members.
I saw it in your,
It's in the middle paragraph.
So my question is 360, is that the total or is that an average per trip or is that, What's the average per trip, I guess, is what I'm saying. Because 360 is the total travelers. Some of those may be repeat travelers.
He did not provide, I don't see in the memo that he provided an individual count.
So
I can
my
get
question
that.
Would be, how many individual seniors take part, not repeat travelers?
Actually, can I...
Alderman Willem.
He does say 119 participants, so
on
I would
these
think,
two trips.
Right, so I didn't know if participants would is sort of separate out from duplicating people. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Just without him being here.
Yeah, so is that 119 on each of those two trips or 119 total for those two trips? And then what other trips are we paying for?
Those were only the two trips that we did not partner in.
Right.
So...
So the question remains, how many individuals, and also do they collect the dues like the seniors do?
I do not believe they collect dues. The second sentence of his memo says that for the trips that the city sponsored the bus, they had 241 participants, and I don't believe that's a individual count. I believe that's the sum of the all the participants on each trip, you know, 80-80-80 kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't think that's an individual count if somebody went on all three trips.
Okay.
But
so
I
they
can
would,
request that.
So it's still one person going on counting three times basically is what's happening or counting however many times
could
they take a trip.
I believe so, and he's provided it that way because he's talking about three trips. So he's trying to give you some indication of how full each of the buses are.
And then my next question is, are these Franklin residents?
No.
Not necessarily.
This report doesn't specify, but historically for the 10 years that I've been seeing reports and it's been dealing with the same group, the vast majority of them are Franklin residents. If there's room, they make it available, and there's a slightly higher fee, I believe, if you're not a Franklin resident. That's consistently been the pattern of the organization.
Alderman, if I can provide a little more clarity, the extent of the city's involvement in this is to pay for a bus up to $11,400-ish annually. So if they want to rent six buses for one trip and that burns the $10,000, why?
So we don't really care how many Franklin residents.
Well, I think it's important because we're subsidizing it, but we don't have any say over it, is what I'm suggesting. Alderman Mayor.
I do understand that the number of participants on each of the trips is increasing and has increased at least this year. I'm not sure if it was 2 years in a row, to the point where they are taking two buses or multi-level buses. So more people are, you know, finding out about it, and the way it is run now, they're not afraid to open it up to more residents.
I will note one thing. The motion here is slightly different than in prior years in that since the 2017 budget anticipated carryover of unspent funds based on a memo we received at that time, and that was budgeted for this year, the memo assumes that it was the Common Council's desire then to carry over any unspent funds at the end of the year. So the motion in your packet includes the additional amount because they actually underspent a little more than they had originally anticipated.
Okay. There were some questions, Mr. Ryan, on the number of participants and how many are Franklin residents if we're going more outside?
To be frankly honest, we're going less. And that is that there's a previous gentleman's agreement, if you want to call it, that runs parallel with the Franklin Senior Inc. If a member lived in the city of Franklin and they're still an active member with the Franklin Senior Inc., even though they've lived outside the city now, they're still allowed to go on the trips. That was a rule that was put in place before I took it, and it was kind of a mutual rule that it helps both the Senior Inc., because a lot of their members, you know, are the same ones that, you know, go on the trips and that, so they've got that. So we haven't made the two organizations separate. One has one set of rules, one has another set. The only other way that someone can go on a trip is if you're a caregiver for the Franklin resident, meaning your daughter, your son, your neighbor is going to come and you have some type of a disability as far as walking or, you know, you use a walker or a cane or something like that. So that, as a rule of thumb, we don't even take waiting lists anymore for people outside of the city. And I've had to be lectured. It's nice to be lectured from elderly people on why did you change the rule? I was allowed to go on it, and I simply had to have said because of our demand with our own residents that we have to stay focused, you know, with them. We don't have the problem of trying to fill a bus. In the past, it was, we'll take a name of a waiting list, and if we had room on the bus because we couldn't fill it, then they would go to that that list, and then those people would be incorporated. We don't have that problem. Majority of our trips now are all two bus trips, so we're not even soliciting. We've had people that have gone in the past, and I've had to tell them that, I'm sorry, we can't do that. We've created now, in fact, it makes it a lot easier. We have, well, one thing is the city advertises on their TV network, but we've put a website together. You're all welcome to go onto it. It's called Franklin Senior Travelers, where you can actually download the form now and click on. We also put the coming up events in advance so seniors can do it. I've even gotten to the point now where I coordinate with several of the retirement facilities, the apartments and that, so that we don't pick the same day that they're having an activity that's leaving, so that we get the mix. We don't want to compete with those. So that's adding more people to it. Word of mouth is doing it. So we've cut back on that number, and those numbers are truly Franklin residents.
Alderman Mayor.
Thank you. That's good to hear. That was my concern, how many were Franklin residents, how many were not. What is your membership? I mean, you've got a couple of numbers that, on the trips, but what's the average number per trip?
It as I get educated on this, and it's kind of interesting, you have people that like to go to the fireside, and those are people that have more of a disability. They can't walk long distances. Some of them require walkers or canes. And those people like that type of an activity. When we do other things like when we went to Lambeau, obviously that was two buses. That was a lot younger people because it involved stairs and walking and that. So our groups, our trips are set up to basically accommodate different people. And younger people, I would say, the younger seniors in there that have the ability that can walk in that, like those outdoor trips in that, the people that have a disability as far as walking, you know, that type, they like them more inside. So we try to break it up on our website. Right now we listed all of the fireside because we have to book those way in advance to get a commitment from them. We're planning a trip now down to Chicago. It's a riverboat tour, where that'll be on a riverboat, and it goes through the rivers and points out the historical buildings and kind of a story behind there. And that trip there will be one that'll be kind of a combination, where they can get to the bus from the bus to the, you know, to the boat, and there's not a lot of walking. A lot of the younger people that can walk, they're interested because it's something different in that. So it's a combination of the different trips, and we literally have a different clientele depending on the trip. So I try to balance have a balancing act that I try to do some that are catered towards people with the disabilities and can't get out versus the younger people that are looking for the type of an activity.
Good. I'm also glad to hear the variety because last we saw it was the fireside every other week or kind of thing. So I'm glad to see the variety. Did you see Million Dollar Quartet?
Yes, I did.
It was very good, eh?
Yes. And if you look on our Facebook, or not Facebook, but our webpage, we're starting to put pictures, you know, of the events where we go to. That alone is drawing a lot of, you know, comments where people want to go. In fact, the lady for Million Dollar Quartet got the Elvis scarf. And I have a set rule that we have when we go on the trips. Anybody, and we usually get great seats right in the front rows and that, so we always get picked from the thing, and they always, usually as a rule of thumb, will pick someone from our group because we usually have the largest group, and this young lady got the scarf from Elvis and a kiss and that, you know, so that was, you know, something where everybody talked and thought it was great and that. But I have a standing rule, as I tell everybody when we get there. I always tell them, if anybody says they're from the city of Milwaukee, we leave them behind and we don't send a bus for them. So we try to promote the city and our group and our activity, and it's well received.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to accept on file? As well, there's a fiscal note in here. Carry forward an additional $1,165.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.